Good morning. So I have this sponge in my hand, and it's dry, and it's got quite rough edges, and the texture is quite rough as well. It's quite light. If I dunk it in the water, if I saturate it in the water, it feels quite different now. So the edges have softened. The texture feels quite different as well. Obviously, it's heavier now. And if the world applies pressure to it, what happens? That goodness that it's been saturated with comes out. And I want to continue this morning about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we want to be saturated in the Holy Spirit, that we soften, that we feel different, that our texture is different, that our rough edges are gone. And if the world comes and squeezes us, that it's the Holy Spirit that comes out, not our natural self that comes out, which is not always so pleasant. So let's leave ourselves there in the Holy Spirit so long. And if we look at when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Danae is going to try and follow me this morning. So Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Nicodemus says, "But how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." So Jesus there references the Holy Spirit and saying you must be born of water, but you've got to be born of the Spirit as well. So when we go, when we receive Jesus, when we receive salvation, we receive Jesus' Spirit. And we spoke last week, remember last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit and the fact that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one God with different roles. And the Holy Spirit is part of God. And we receive, when we receive God, when we receive Jesus, we're receiving the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. So it's a spiritual birth. Okay, so Nicodemus was referencing the physical birth here and saying, but you know, I'm born of my mother, how can I be physically born again? And Jesus said, no, this is not a physical birth. This is a spiritual birth. You are receiving the Holy Spirit and you're being renewed and you're receiving this new birth through the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, Jesus says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Because people will say, but you know, I can see the creation of God and I could see Jesus. He was a physical man on earth, but I can't see the Holy Spirit. But we see the effect of the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit moving within our midst. We see it moving in our own lives. We see it moving in the other people. We see it moving in the church as a whole. We see the effect of the Holy Spirit. So remember last week, we also said some of the things we said about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. So other than being God as well, the Holy Spirit is also a person. He's not an it. So we've got a personal God, a personal Savior in Jesus. The Holy Spirit also a person, and he relates to us as a person. I'm not going to re-preach that. He was there in the very beginning. We only know Genesis to Revelation, but the Holy Spirit extends beyond both. We see the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1. We see the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. And he was placed on individuals in the Old Testament. And then through the prophet Joel, do you remember? We said Joel prophesied that he would be poured out for everybody. And we saw that in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was then poured out for everybody. So in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was used for particular people, particular places, particular purpose, particular time. But in the New Testament, we saw the Holy Spirit poured out for everybody. And everybody means us as well. We are all included. So poured out for all. And that's what we want to reflect on today. So firstly, so we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit does today. Let's make it a bit more practical. So firstly, the Holy Spirit adopts. So adoption, we've got our own mindset in our culture as to what adoption means. And it's often for the welfare of the child. But if you look at Roman adoption, it was a powerful legal tool used primarily by wealthy families to secure an heir. So they would secure an heir, they would continue the family name, and they would build political alliances. So if they didn't have someone to carry on the name, they would adopt so that that person would get the name, carry on the name, get the wealth. So it was actually a very strong position adoption. And that's the framework that Jesus is speaking through here. That's the mindset we see in adoption. And let's look at the scripture where Jesus uses that word. Paul's using the word here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. So Paul's saying that we are adopted as sons. And the reference that he's got is the Roman reference there, that spirit of adoption. So it's actually it's an important position in the family, that adoption. It's not seen as die Wieskind. That's an important role, that place of adoption. So we are adopted. We are prince and princesses because we are children of the king. You know, and do we take up our place? Do we take up our place as those prince and princesses of Jesus? And then Jesus goes on and says, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And that's the first time we see that. We don't see it in the Old Testament. We don't see the word Abba in the Old Testament. Jesus introduces that, where we can call God Abba, Father. So Jesus calls him Abba, like daddy, but he introduces that to us, where we can actually use the word Abba, which means we have that close personal relationship with God. So God is our creator, the almighty, the awesome God. He's there to be revered and feared, but he's also our daddy. He's also our personal daddy. And the Holy Spirit gives us that spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit makes us children of God when we accept Jesus and we get that Holy Spirit within us. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with each of us. So it's that person of the Holy Spirit with a personal touch for each of us. He bears witness with our spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit saying, well, I'm going to bear witness with the Christians of South Africa or the Christians of Josh Gen. It's that personal relationship. It's John. It's Mariska. It's Inari. It's Janelle. And all of us as well. Hey? It's that personal relationship that the Father has with us through his Holy Spirit. Secondly, helps and comforts. So that's how we come to know the Holy Spirit. Eh? The Holy Spirit is the helper. And Jesus referenced that. Jesus says, I have to go away in order that the Holy Spirit can come. The helper can come. The helper is going to come and help you in your faith and guide you in your faith. And we know the Holy Spirit is the helper and the comforter. Let's look in John 14. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So he comes and helps us. Helping is taking us by the hand, but it's also teaching us. It's revealing scripture to us. And when we do that, when we open the word, we don't read the Bible like we just read a book or a newspaper. We read the Bible for revelation, and the Holy Spirit gives us that revelation. And each of us can read each of us can read the same text or the same passage, and the Holy Spirit can say something different to us. And that's why it's fantastic when we minister together and we seek the Lord together, because he brings us something different, because the Holy Spirit teaches us and he reveals things. And as we allow him to reveal, as we read for that understanding and that revelation from the Holy Spirit, so we grow in our faith. So other terms, because this is now obviously a translation from the Greek. So other words that the Holy Spirit is known as: comforter, which is more the emotional side; an advocate, which is more the sort of a lawyer, almost like the intercessory side, where the Spirit is interceding for us, praying for us; the counselor, giving us guidance and wisdom. Like we try and counsel each other, we will sit down and have a coffee, as we say, and find out, how's it going? How's it going in your marriage? How's it going with your finances? How's that terrible boss of yours? You know, we counsel and we try and give each other guidance and wisdom, and the Holy Spirit does that for us as well, if we allow him. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come and counsel us on a regular basis? So the actual word that it comes from, all these different translations, is parakletos. So para means alongside, and kaleo means to call. So it's to call alongside, or one called to help. So the Holy Spirit draws alongside to you. So as we're walking in our Christian faith, the Holy Spirit draws alongside to you. And the Comrades Marathon is on as we speak. The winners are probably getting close to finishing if they started at 5. They run so quickly. And I haven't watched the Comrades for years, but it just spoke to me this morning now as well in my quiet time. Just to say, the Comrades Marathon, do you know that the other runners are allowed to help each other, but you can't come in from, you can't get your family and your spectators to come and help you. But it's actually encouraged. It's not just you may help another runner, it's actually encouraged, and that's where the name of the Comrades Marathon comes from. And that's that for me is almost also like a picture of the Holy Spirit coming alongside. Because you, when you're really struggling, and when I was young, we used to watch it every year, and then you see these people, they're coming along, and then they suddenly go from the tar road onto the grass, and then their legs just give in. And then another, and then they try and get up and they fall. And then another runner will come and help them, and they come alongside them. And that's a lovely picture of the Holy Spirit coming alongside us when we're stumbling, when we're struggling, or when we're falling in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. And I was chatting to Lyndon this morning. I think I'm looking at Gideon, we're talking to Lyndon. I think you must let Lyndon come alongside you and get you up Hansekop on a bicycle. We've been up there with a car, but I can't imagine going up there with a bicycle, but Lyndon has. And you would need someone like Lyndon to come alongside you if you're doing that for the first time, to try and go up. The gradient was up to, I think, 25 degrees or something. That's very stale. So, but that picture of coming alongside. And we come alongside each other in different ways and in different circumstances. So I could say, well, we want Shane and Mareka to come alongside us in our marriage. And maybe we want Trevor and Charmaine to come alongside us in our parenting. So we have different people that can assist us in different ways. Just a side note, the Comrades Marathon is only 85.7 today instead of 88. So they're thinking of cutting a little piece of the medals off because the guys don't deserve a full medal if they're not doing 88. Okay, then he also guides and comforts. The Holy Spirit also guides and comforts, guides and convicts. I've already alluded to guiding, so he guides us, but he convicts us at the same time. So let's have a look at the scripture there. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So this guiding and convicting is slightly different to the previous one of helping and comforting. This one's like a little bit more with a stick maybe, you know, keeping us on the path, guiding us. But it's that loving guiding. And the picture I had was of a parent parenting a little toddler, you know. And you see them at restaurants and play parks and they're going behind them like this, guiding them so that they don't hurt themselves. Versus a school bully. You know, a school bully comes in and he condemns you, but the Holy Spirit has got this guiding nature and he convicts you. So he's like, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And you can, when you're close to the Holy Spirit, you can feel that conviction. No, I shouldn't be doing that. So it's a conviction as opposed to this condemnation that comes from the school bully. You're worthless, you know, you're nothing, laughing at you, speaking death over you. That's the difference between the devil and the Holy Spirit. So if someone's talking on your shoulder and you can't figure out who it is, if you feel a conviction, it's the Holy Spirit. If you feel condemned, you feel worthless, feel depressed, then it's coming from the devil, right? Conviction versus condemnation. And the picture, I had a picture given to me recently where somebody said, I see you in a canoe in the river, but you've got no paddle. And what I felt in the moment straight away from the Holy Spirit is to follow the river. Let him guide me and not paddle. Because if we paddle, we can get ahead of the river. Eh? And the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to get ahead. You know, so we're building church here and you want to rah, rah, let's build, let's go. But we don't want to run ahead of the Holy Spirit. We want to build slow and steady. If we've got builders or contractors here, they will say, build the foundation, let it set. Build the walls, let them set before you rush on to the next thing. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, make sure we build at his pace, Build at God's pace. This is God's church. He's building it. We must build at his pace. So let's be guided by the river. We spoke last week about the swamp, the canal, and the river. In the canal, you've got to paddle or you go nowhere. But we are in the river of life, and the Holy Spirit's pushing us along and guiding us, and we've got to let the river take us. Then we've got transforms and bears fruit is the next one. You can look at the scripture. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And some of the other translations, the NIV and the ESV, both say transformed into his image. And we want to be transformed. So as we spend more time with God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister into us and through us, so we will be transformed and we'll start to look more like Jesus. And that's what we want. And then there's often that analogy that couples start to look like each other when they spend enough time with each other. And I'm looking at Shane and Marika, and I'm looking at Trevor and Charmaine again. Those two haven't spent enough time together. They don't look like each other yet. But they will. And some people, I won't look at anybody now, but some people start looking like their pets as well. Hey, Nick Winton. So if we spend a lot of time with our spouse, we start looking like them. People start looking like their dogs as well. And if we spend enough time with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to wash through us, we will get transformed into his likeness. We want to get transformed. And we want to bear the fruit. And we know that scripture well, Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's a basket of fruit. Right? I used to always say fruits, and then someone in my community corrected me and said, no, it's fruit. See it like a basket of fruit. You can't chuck out the banana and say, I'm not patient. We've got all the fruit. And joy is a lovely one, of course. Because joy is not happiness. And the whole world tries to be happy. And we see it. There's so many celebrities that end up quoting just about being unhappy and just searching for the next thing and never being happy. But until you find the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is so different to happiness. So you can be happy, but not joyful. And what about peace? That's another lovely one. So I'm always very busy. I've always got something to do. So joy, on a Saturday, joy will say, just sit and relax. Just do nothing. But I'm either like finding work to do or then interfering with her housework or doing church stuff. Now, there's always something that I can be doing. But just stop. But it doesn't mean I don't have peace. So that's the point. So I'm busy, but I've still got the peace of the Lord. Just remember to differentiate sometimes. Sometimes you look, yes, that guy's so busy, he's always running around, he's got no peace. I have the peace of the Lord. Just got to learn to sit still. The Holy Spirit unifies. Ephesians chapter 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And the Holy Spirit brings unity. And we've spoken about that a lot as well in our context here, where we're all so different and we come from different backgrounds and we wouldn't all find each other unless we were here seeking the Lord together and letting the Holy Spirit again wash through us. And the Holy Spirit brings that unity, that if we were here just for secular reasons or meeting as a club, it would be a very different dynamic in terms of how we relate to each other. I mean, you guys know that from the workplace and from sports clubs and so on. It's very different how we relate to each other because the Holy Spirit brings unity here. And just in this past week now, so we had our last orientation on Wednesday night. We've had 14 lovely people go through orientation. And for the last one, they came over to our side on Somerset West. And I just feel the unity in that group. And the fact that no car came with two people. Every car had four people in it. That's just an indication already that the Holy Spirit's bringing people together. And just the love that we can feel amongst them. And just from six Wednesday evenings together, And we really feel like that group is bonding. Now we're going to tear them apart and put them into different communities. But yeah, it's just lovely to see the unity. And then the next evening, some of us went and prayed at the Glad Tidings Assembly with some of our other brothers and sisters within the community, which some of them might have different doctrines. But as I said to some of them, the problems in Khrebo, the problems of the community of Khrebo are bigger than our differences. And just coming together and being able to pray with other brothers and sisters, and you wouldn't have that without the unity of the Holy Spirit, just the way He knits us together. And then fraternals don't always work, eh, John? But that's when people have the wrong heart. So when people come into a fraternal and they're like, I want to make sure that I'm getting my doctrine across, or we must use my worship team, or I must get the offering, that's when things fall apart. But if we come into a fraternal with a heart of, we want together serve Khrebo, we want to bring Khrebo and Elgin and Feyerboom and Botrova and TWK and everybody to get to know the Lord and bring everybody into the church, that's a different heart. And that's when the spirit of unity is amongst us. Okay, then the Holy Spirit gives gifts as well. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, I've highlighted some stuff in yellow, yeah, to say that there's different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, everyone, it is the same God at work. So different gifts. So there's lots of different gifts. So we mustn't be comparing, and we can have multiple gifts. It's not like we each get one gift. And then to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So all of us can receive the Holy Spirit, and all of us can receive gifts. And then there are different gifts. If we go on to the next page, to one there's given the Spirit of a message of wisdom. Then there's knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So that's just some of the gifts. Then there's teaching gifts and worship gifts, prayer, intercessory, administration gifts, hosting gifts. The list goes on and on. I mean, there must be something like, I don't know, 50 gifts. There's a long list of different gifts, and that's why we are the body together. And Paul covers it beautifully in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, where he talks about the gifts, and he talks about love, and he talks about the body, and he knits it together. But we are the body together. We all have different gifts, and we're only a complete picture when we're all together, and we're all using our gifts. So it's no good. We come here as part of the body, but we're not functioning. So that's like having a foot, but it's not working. So then I've got to drag it along. So the foot's here, but he's not operating. So each of us must not just be present in the body and in the bride of Christ, but be participating in our gifts. Because God has given Deline, Rech, God's given Deline a different gift to my gift. So I can't replace Deline, and she can't replace me, because we have different giftings. And when we all come together, then our gifts complete the picture of the body. And as I said, you can have multiple gifts as well. And then the Holy Spirit empowers. This is the last one. So the Holy Spirit brings power. And we looked at that scripture last week as well. I think Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power. So the same power that's in God, that power of Jesus, of raising Jesus from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit that we saw in all those Old Testament characters, that same Spirit used in people like Gideon, Samson, Ezekiel, Isaiah, pick one, Moses, that same Spirit that was in them is the same Spirit that poured out in Pentecost in Acts, and it's the same Spirit available to us. The power, there's power in the Holy Spirit. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit, because Paul says in Romans 8:9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So when we receive Jesus, when we receive Jesus and we receive salvation from Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. So everybody has the Holy Spirit, but not everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to, if we want to be full of the Holy Spirit and receive all that power and everything that God and the Holy Spirit has for us, we need to ask God. We ask God for the fullness of the Spirit, and he will pour it out on us. And we see five different occasions in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Spirit. So firstly, it was in Acts chapter 2, where we see the people were praying together. They were longing for the Spirit because Jesus had promised them this Holy Spirit. So they were gathered together and they were longing for the Spirit. And if you are longing for the Spirit, you will be filled with the Spirit. We must have that hunger for the Spirit. That same hunger, as you can smell the soup in the background there now. That same, do we have the hunger for the Holy Spirit? Or are we just like, yeah, okay. So that those people in Acts chapter 2, they were longing for the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. What about when Peter and John went to Samaria? So Samaria was the Anamensa, you know. And they went there, and those people received the Holy Spirit. So those people weren't longing for it, but they were receptive to it. When Peter and John brought the message, and they brought the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit over the Samaritans, they received it because they were receptive. So you might be sitting here today, and you're not longing for the Holy Spirit, but you're actually receptive. You open for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What about Paul in Acts chapter 9? He was actually hostile. Eh? Let's have a look at that one. You can put up Acts 9, don't you? Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So if you don't know this passage, his name was Saul, and then he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, went to Ananias, and Ananias prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he became the powerful apostle Paul that wrote a lot of the New Testament. But it says there, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul already had an encounter with Jesus on the road, and then he sent him to Ananias, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, which activated him into his gifts and his ministry and to what he became. Then you get the unlikely, where Peter was given that dream about Cornelius, but Cornelius was the Gentiles. So you got the Samaritans that they were Anamensa, and then you got the Gentiles, the Anamensa. So they were unlikely people. Like, why would God pour out his Spirit on those people, on the Gentiles? But in Acts chapter 10, if we look at the next scripture, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You can leave that up, thanks. So they were the unlikely people. So we've had the hostile, we've had the unlikely, we've had the longing, the people longing for it. We've had those that aren't longing, but they're receptive. And then we get the uninformed. If we go further into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 19, when the apostles said, "Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "We don't know what you mean. What are you talking about?" And I love that story of Peter and Ify, that they were in South Africa, and they experienced God, and God told them, go back to the Netherlands and go and plant a church. But they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. They were uninformed. But they went back. They were obedient. They planted the church. And then they started learning about the Holy Spirit so that they could receive their gifts, receive the fullness. And sometimes we're just uninformed. We don't know what it means. And that's okay. That's why we're in family together, to learn about these things together and to explore the Holy Spirit and to understand what's available, that we have the fullness available, that we don't stop at salvation, but that we can step into the more and the fullness of the Holy Spirit to activate ourselves into what God's got for us. And God's got a plan for each of us. No matter what your age is, some of you are not old enough to make your tea at the back. Some of you maybe need to walk with a stick as we get older. But none of us are too old to be used by the Lord. Even if it's to sit and minister. If you can't move, you can still sit and minister to somebody. So God can use every single one of us. So if we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit then. So that's the love of God poured into our hearts. That's the best way I can describe it. Receiving the Holy Spirit. It's just receiving that fullness, that love of God, just experience. And that can sometimes be a physical manifestation. And we talk about the physical manifestations, not because we want to specifically see the physical manifestations, but so that if something happens, you're not freaked out. So if we pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, sometimes there are things that happen. Sometimes people will feel warm, or like feel like they're on fire, or like they're, I'm normally on fire. Yeah. So Joy always says, no, take your hand off me, it's just too hot. I would like to think that's just the Holy Spirit, but I think I'm just naturally hot. But sometimes we feel hot or tingly, or sometimes you feel like there's a wind blowing. Sometimes people fall over. People start speaking in tongues. And we talk about tongues because it's one of the most common gifts, and it's also one of the supernatural gifts. It's often the ones that are seen first. So before you see somebody acting in deliverance or a healing gift, you might see someone speaking in tongues. So that's why we talk about this, so that that you're not freaked out if things happen. So when we pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, people might start laughing or people might start crying. So, but the Holy Spirit has never embarrassed me, let me say that, in all our years of ministry. It's just that overwhelming experience of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about the manifestations just so that we understand that they can happen, but it's not something we aim for. We look to the person of the Holy Spirit, not to the manifestations. It's like falling in love. So when you're with your friend, you spend more and more time with this person that you're attracted to, and makes you feel weird, and you get like a tingly feeling, and you feel warm, but you don't pursue the person for the feeling. You pursue the person for the person. And that's how it should be with the Holy Spirit as well, is we pursue the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not so that we can fall over or feel warm. We pursue the Holy Spirit because we want more of Him. We want to be full of Jesus. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want everything that God's got for us so that He can wash us clean, so that He can use us in some sort of ministry and some sort of capacity. Back to the sponge. All right, we want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that it just runs out of us. And when we never get empty, because we continually with Him and receiving the fullness. And it's something that we can continually do. We can continually ask for the fullness of the Spirit. And if life comes and squeezes us, that God comes out, not the ugly stuff. St. Augustine, who's perhaps one of the greatest theologians, he said, the thought of you, God, stirs a person so deeply that they cannot be content unless they praise you, The thought of you stirs a person so deeply that they cannot be content unless they praise you, because you made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you. And we made for God. God made us, and He made us with a special place in ourselves for His Spirit. And that's why people go after money and sex and alcohol and drugs and everything else, because they're trying to fill this space that actually that space was made for God. And you can try and fit a wine bottle in there, or the internet or something, or an Abraham Lincoln note, but nothing will fit, because it's actually made for God. It's made for His Holy Spirit. And we need to receive the fullness of His Spirit, put Him inside us. So back to tongues. As I said, that's one of the first supernatural gifts. So tongues is just a heavenly language. And If you speak tongues, you can choose when you start. You can choose when you want to stop. It's a heavenly language that God gives us. Because our language, our English language runs out. We want to adore God. And we want to say he's amazing. But the soccer game last night was amazing. And we want to tell him he's awesome. But that Kentucky was also awesome. So our English language just runs out. So he gives us this heavenly tongue that we can adore him in. And sometimes there's a tongue that needs an interpretation. So sometimes there's a tongue over the congregation. I was just giving an example now. So that wasn't a tongue for the congregation. But sometimes there's a tongue for the congregation. And then there will be the gift of interpretation. But we're also given tongues just to praise God in a heavenly language. And we might not understand what we're saying, but we control our tongue. So again, it's not something to be nervous about. Yeah, thanks. Good point. So sometimes it is an actual language. So often it's just a heavenly tongue, but sometimes it's actually a tongue. And we heard one for the first time last year, I think it was, at the gathering. It's the first time we've actually heard a tongue that was an actual language, where somebody came up and brought a tongue, and then somebody in the congregation said, but that's Spanish, and they knew exactly what the person had said, even though the person bringing the tongue didn't speak it. And that's what we saw in the book of Acts, where they brought these actual languages. So that can happen as well. Someone can bring, and that's the first time we'd experienced it live, let's say, in person. But, I mean, you hear stories around the world as well, where there's some person, then they're struggling to converse, they're in a totally different language, and then somebody brings a tongue, and it's just maybe saying God loves you and he wants you in their language. And they get to experience that, knowing that that person doesn't speak their language. And it's amazing how God can minister to people through actual languages like that. Okay, so how do we respond to this? So firstly, remember last week I spoke about three barriers. So don't let Satan throw those barriers at you. The one was doubt. But we know in Luke 11, verse 9 to 10, that Jesus says this is for everybody. Fear. I don't want to look like a fool, or something's going to go wrong or something. Luke 11, verse 11 to 13. If we ask our Father, he will give us. What will he give us? His Spirit. He will give us good gifts. God's not going to give us something bad if we ask him for his Spirit. He's going to give us good gifts. And then thirdly, the devil makes us feel inadequate. Like, yeah, I can understand that it's for these people, but not for me. Maybe I'll do it at a later time. It's for everybody. And none of us are worthy. Remember that. Not one of us sitting here is worthy to receive Jesus or receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's only because of him. It's only because of God's mercy. Only because of God's grace that we can. So let's open ourselves up to him. Because none of us are worthy. But all of us can receive. So it's an invitation from our Father. Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So we're telling Jesus to come. And let the one who hears say, come. That's us. Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water of life. So Jesus is telling us, come. If you're thirsty, if you want the river of life, come, come. Jesus is telling us to come. So we're not forcing ourselves. Jesus, that invitation's there all the time. Come for salvation. Come for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We've got a Father that loves us. He wants to pour out his love on us. He wants to pour his Spirit into us. He made us. He wants to pour his Spirit into us. And I want to give us the opportunity today.